holding Zion on the Bays, the second Mishnah. We're in the middle of a series of Ein Bein Mishnayos. Namely, we had one Ein we had involved on the Bays, Ein Bein Adar Rishon v'Adar Hasheni, that there's no difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Hasheni except Kriyas and Avila and Matanas Levyonim, which we said there's two possibilities. Either the Mishnah means that in fact, there's no difference as far as the Dalad Parashias, that the Dievid, you read them in other Aleph, then it's fine. Or we said that, in fact, the Mishnah is not implying that, and it's only saying that there's no difference between the 14th and 15th of Adar Rishon and of Adar Sheni, except for Kriyas and Megillah and Matanas Levyonim. In other words, both of them are also the Hesped of Atinus. So because of that, now we're digressing to talk about a whole bunch of other unrelated dinim that begin with this formula, Ein Bein this and that, Ella, such and such. So we had yesterday the one about Yom Tov and Shabbos. So here's another one. Ein Bein Shabbos to Yom Kippurim. There's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur as far as the punishment. Now again, in each of these, we don't mean there's no difference at all. There's many differences. We mean in one particular area. The same way as with Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, we said in one particular area, namely the 14th and 15th, there's no difference except such and such. When we said between Yom Tov and Shabbos, there's no difference, we meant as far as what kind of malachas are mutter. So now, Ein Bein Shabbos, the Yom Kippurim, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur as far as the punishment for a person who breaks them. The difference is that if a person is machal Shabbos b'mezid, then he's punished by people, we get schila. Whereas if a person breaks Yom Kippur on purpose, eating or doing malacha or whatever, then he gets kares. So the Gemara says, "Hold it in tashlumin zevzeh shovin." So the implication seems to be that when it comes to paying for damage that a person did, then it would be the same thing, and the person either way is potter. Namely, we're going to introduce over here the concept of kumle b'derabimene. We have the concept that if a person damages somebody else's property, but in the course of that, they're also doing something that makes them chayiv misa. So we say the fact that they're chayiv misa makes them exempt from paying. They get the greater punishment. So now we're saying that the same thing applies to the kares of Yom Kippur. Mani masnisin Rav Nechunya ben Hakana. So who would our Mishnah be like is specifically according to Rav Nechunya ben Hakana. The Tanya, Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, he held that Yom Kippur is the same as Shabbos as far as having to pay for damages. Ma Shabbos mischayev b'nafshei u'platim en ha'tashlomin. Say, for example, a person set somebody's stack of grain on fire. If he did that on Shabbos, everybody agrees he's going to be potter from paying for the grain because he's going to be chayev misa, he's going to be chayev misas based in for breaking Shabbos, and therefore that exempts him from paying for the grain. Rav Nechunya ben Hakana says the same thing is true as far as Yom Kippur. Ma Shabbos mischayev b'nafshei. Just like when it comes to Shabbos, he's chayev for his own life because he's chayev misa. Upotim en tashlumin, and therefore he's exempt from paying. Af Yom Kippur mischayev b'nafshei upotim en tashlumin. Now the Chachamim disagree with him, so they say that this patur of kumle b'derabimene only applies to misas beistin. So according to them, he would be chayev on Yom Kippur, so our Mishnah wouldn't fit according to them, only according to him. Okay. The Gemara says, here's another thing. Let's see if we can demonstrate the following, another unrelated din from our Mishnah. Speaking of Kares, Tanan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Matthias, Kol chayev krisis shaloku, anybody who was chayev kares and got malchus, niftiru midei krisasan. So say, for example, in other words, anything that's chayev kares involves a lav. There were the Mishnah at the beginning of Krisis was 36 things that a person is chayev kares for. The Rambam actually expands them to 43 because he breaks out some of them. For example, you have some of them involve certain arayas, which the Mishnah considers all in one category, and then the Rambam breaks them out into their subdivisions. Anyway, most of them are lavim. So suppose a person is about to break Yom Kippur, for example. So like this, if Edom didn't warn him, then we said he'd get kares. Suppose that Edom warned him, and is he going to get malchus for that? So any chayvei krisis that got malchus niftiru midei krisasan, then they're potter from kares, then Hashem is not going to give them kares anymore. Shenema v'nikla chicha la'inecha, as the pasuk says about malchus, your brother will be degraded in your eyes, meaning it's warning not to give too many malchus so he doesn't become degraded, but we learn from that that the malchus itself is a degradation. Kivin shaloka, as soon as the guy gets malchus, niftiru, hareyu kachicha, then he's like your brother again, meaning that he's not chayiv kares. The whole point of kares is the neshama is cut off from the Jewish people, so now he's like achicha, now he's restored to the status of your brother and he doesn't get kares. Divrei Rav Chananya ben Gamliel. Now, the Mishnah over there just brings it as a Stam Mishnah, but this is actually a Braisa then, the Pashtus that we're quoting, that says that Rav Chananya ben Gamliel says this. But, Omer Rav Yechanan, Chalukin Olav Chaverim are Rav Chananya ben Gamliel. You should know that Rav Chananya ben Gamliel's Chaverim disagree with him and say that we don't give him Malkus for such a thing. He gets Kores and that's that. Omer Rav, Amri Dei Rav, so Rav says, well, they said in the Yeshiva of Rav, that we can show that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Chananya ben Gamliel, and that our Mishnah goes like them. Because Tanena, we learn in our Mishnah, Ein ben yemek kapurim l'Shabbos, elosh zez zoni b'dei adam zez zoni b'ikores. We're saying that Shabbos, a person is punishable by Beis Din, Yom Kippur, a person is only punishable by the Beis Din Shomayla. The Im Issa, now, if we follow Rav Chananya ben Gamliel, Aydi v'aydi b'dei adam, then both of them involve a punishment b'dei adam. So the fact that our Mishnah says that one is Bidei Adam and the other one is not implies that our Mishnah disagrees with Rav Chananya ben Gamliel, which validates what Rav Yechanan is saying, that the other Chachamim disagree with Rav Chananya ben Gamliel. On the other hand, Amr Rav Nachman, on the other hand, Rav Nachman says not necessarily, Homani Rav Yitzchaki. You could say that maybe in general the Chachamim do agree with Rav Chananya ben Gamliel, but our Mishnah specifically would be like Rav Yitzchak. The Amar Malkus B'chayvei Krisus Lekta. He specifically says that when you have a lab that involves Kares, then even if they gave him Hasra for Malkus, then he doesn't get Malkus. The other Chachamim don't necessarily have to agree with him. D'Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Chayvei Krisus B'chlal Hoyu, there was a general rule in the Torah about people who are Chayev Kares, namely the Torah lists in Parshas Achrimos, we read it on Yom Kippur afternoon, a whole list of Arayas, and at the end of it it says that anybody who does any of these, V'michlasu Anafashas Oisis, anybody who does any of these is going to get Kares. So V'loma Yotzes Kores V'achosai, so why in Parshas Kedoshim, when we list the Arayas, and many of them, it says the punishments for them, so many of them are Chayiv Misa, but we list those in order to tell us the Chayiv Misa for each one, but then it mentions that if a man is Mizana with his sister, and it says there that they get Kares, so why does it spell that out? Why does it mention that again? If we know already from the end of Achrimos that they're Chayiv Kares, means Laduna B'Kares V'Loi B'Malkus, means to come and tell us that they get judged with Kares, not with Malkus. Even though they gave them Hasra, still they do not get Malkus, only Kares. Now, Rashi points out, the Pasuk in Kedoshim does also relist a Nida, and says that a man and woman who have relations when the woman is Nida is Chayiv Kares. But there, that's different. The Torah there is adding a detail that we don't know from Parshat Achrimos, namely it says there was Makora Hera, and we learn from there the concept of Hara, that when they only do the initial stage of Bia, already that's enough to be Chayiv. And we wouldn't have known that from anywhere else. But by the sister, there's no real Chiddush in the Pasuk, except for the fact that they get Kares, but we already know that. So therefore, it comes to teach us, says Rabbi Yitzchak, that they only get Kares, never Malkus. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns that everybody, it means like this, everybody who's Chayiv Kares would have been included in Malkus. Because again, what does a person get Malkus for? For a lab that involves an action. Well, almost every one of the Krisus, except for those two, the Pesach and Mila, which are mitzvahs haseh, but fine. All the ones that are loisa says, there's always a lav involved, and that lav by rights should make them chayiv malchus, and instead the Torah is saying that some of them are chayiv kares. So why specifically by the sister, it mentions kares. So therefore, what it means is that Tosfos learns what the Gemara said, what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying is, not only is not only does it mean that there's kodesh by the sister, it means, well, so Rashi is saying that, again, it's an example of loy lamed al atzma yotza, el lamed al kal kol yotza. Once we see that there's a chiyuv kodesh by there, then it means kodesh, not malchus, so the same way it means by all other chayvei krusos. Tosfos takes it a little bit differently. It means once we learn that every chiyuv krusos should have involved malchus, and instead it singles her out, then it means in that case, and in every other case of Kodesh, there's only Kodesh, no Malkus. So they arrive at the same thing as Rashi, but by a slightly different route. The point is, Rabbi Yitzchak says, we learn from that classic, that there's no Malkus when it comes to Chiyuv HaKodesh. So our Mishnah could be like Rabbi Yitzchak. It doesn't have to mean necessarily like Rabbi Yechanan says, that the other Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel, and say that if the guy was given Malkus, that he shouldn't be potter from Kodesh, maybe they agree that he is. Rav Ashi says you don't need all of that. Afilo Temer Abanan. You could even say our Mishnah does go according to the Rabbanan. You could even say it goes according to the Rabbanan against Rabbi Yitzchak, who say that there could be Malkus if they gave Masra for Malkus, but it still doesn't force us to say that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Hananiah ben Gamliel, because because the Mishnah may not be talking about that in every case there's no case of Zodin of Yom Kippur that involves Bidei Adam. It means the main punishment that a person gets for violating Shabbos is Bidei Adam. The main punishment that a person gets for violating Yom Kippur B'mezid is Kodesh. Yes, there could be a case where instead he gets Malkus, but that's not the primary case. So therefore we don't have... That's the point. In other words, that is why the fact that Malkus is Bidei Adam is why we thought that our Mishnah has to be implying that there's never Malkus by Yom Kippur. Which would imply either that our Mishnah is like the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel, or that it's like Rabbi Yitzchak. Now Rabbi Ashi is saying no. The Mishnah just means that the main thing, in most cases when a person breaks Yom Kippur, then he's getting Kodesh. There can be the rare case where he gets Malkus, namely where they gave Masra for Malkus, and then he would get, and then like Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel says, he would be potter from Kodesh. But the Mishnah is not addressing that because the Mishnah is talking about the regular case. Okay. The Mishnah goes on to say, the next Mishnah, now we're going to deal with things having to do with the halachas of Nedarim. The order of these Mishnayas, I'm not sure. I mean, we have a couple of Mishnayas that have to do, we have a couple that have to do with Seder Moed. We had the ones about Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni and Yom Tov and Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Now we're going to have a couple about Nedarim, then a couple about Dinei Tumah V'Tahara, about a Zov and about a Metzora. Then we're going to have one about Sforim, Tefillin, Mezuzas, which doesn't really belong specifically to any one of the Shisha Sedarim, because the details of those dinim are kind of scattered throughout Shas. And then we're going to have a couple about Kodeshim. Why particularly that order? I haven't found anything. I haven't found anything yet. It doesn't really fit with any of the common orders of the Sedarim of Mishnayos. You have the two, you have the standard order is Zman Nokat, Zroyim, Moed, Noshim, Nezikim, Kodeshim, Taris. But here we're putting Taris before Kodeshim. Another one, Nezem Kotan, where they start with Nezikin, Zroyim, Moyed, Kodshim, Taris, and Nezikin. But I don't know if we're really following that order either, because Noshim is the last one, and then Noshim or Nezikin is the last one, the Nun, and here we have Noshim, we have Nedarim in the middle. Anyway, the Mishnah says, now you can have a case where a person makes a neder not to have hanah from somebody else. And there's two ways that they could formulate it. They could say, I'm making a neder that I am also to have hanah from you. You can also have vice versa, where the other person can say, I'm making a neder that you're also to have hanah from any of my possessions. So that would be mudra hanah mechaveder, right? Then you can have where you say specifically, I'm making a neder that I'm not going to have any hanah from you that has to do with food. So what's the difference? The Mishnah says, the only difference is, ela judis hasaregel, the difference is that in the first case, he wouldn't be allowed even to walk into the person's property. But whereas if he's mudra remen and meichel, he would, because that has nothing to do with food. The kalim she'en osim man oichel nefesh, and also in the first case, he wouldn't be allowed to borrow kalim that are not used for food, whereas in the second case, he would. So for example, let's say, so a person makes a neder, I'm not going to have I'm not going to have Anas Michael, so you would be allowed to borrow from him, let's say, a pen in order to write something. Now, that has nothing to do with Oichel Nefesh. So the Gemara says, Hal the Inin Kalim Shoisim Ben Oichel Nefesh, Zev Zeh Shoven. Okay, so the implication is that things that are used for Oichel Nefesh, then they're both Asur. Now, the point of that is, Rashi refers to over here to a Gemara in Nedarim, where of course it deals with this in much more detail, that now, there were some places where the minhag was that even the usual way of doing things was that even such things that are not for oichel nefesh, people would rent them out rather than lending them out. So in such places, for example, you wanted to borrow a pen from somebody, they would rent it to you for a certain amount of time. Maybe not a small thing like a pen, I don't know, whatever. Larger things that are not used for oichel nefesh, the custom in some places was to rent them. Well, renting involves money. So therefore, if you're lending it to him for free, it comes out you're saving him money. That money could be used to buy food. Therefore, it's a hana that leads to oichel nefesh, and therefore that would be also even in the second case. So therefore, we have to be talking about a case where ein maskirin, where people anyway lend these things out for free. So therefore, you're not giving him any hana that would possibly lead to oichel nefesh. So now the point is, kalim that are used for oichel nefesh, even in places where they don't rent such things out, nevertheless, you can't lend it to him because that directly leads to oichel nefesh, because now he can use it. You lent him a sieve, for example, to sift his flour or whatever. Now he can directly use it to prepare food. And we said in the Mishnah, drisa saregel, that a difference between them is as far as drisa saregel, that the other person is allowed to set foot in your property. So the question is, even if they're mudrana altogether, why should that be also? Most people are not makbid on such a thing. So Tosfos says, what we're talking about over here is, for example, we're talking about in a valley full of fields. So you have a field over there. Right now, your field is uncultivated anyway because it's out of season or whatever. So most people don't mind if somebody else walks into that property. It's anyway unused right now. But Tosfos says, in other words, when we're talking about a person's chotzer or a person's house or whatever, they are sure a person will be makbid. Rashi may disagree with that because Rashi says in the Mishnah, also likonis b'beisai, that he's not allowed to go into his house. And if the Gemara is asking on that, then the implication is people might not even mind that. In other words, if somebody is just passing through your house or your chotzer or whatever, your house would be, let's say, for example, you sometimes had arrangements. For example, they're discussed a lot in Gemara Eidavin, where, let's say, for example, your house is actually a passageway for other people who live in houses set further back from the street. What? Yeah, so you have tenants in common, or you have more like an easement, like your house is an easement for somebody else. So the question is, so generally speaking, a person is not going to be makbid on that because he knows to begin with when he bought the house that it's going to be that way. Or fine, even if we're not talking about the house, we're talking about the chotzer, let's say, fine, most people aren't going to mind if somebody else uses their chotzer as a shortcut or something. So why, even by mudra hanor mechaveri, would such a thing be also? And the answer is, Amar Rava, Hamani, Rabbi Eliezer. The answer is, our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Eliezer, Dama Vitru also, B'morda Hanah. He says, when you have one person makes a neder not to have Hanah from somebody else, then even Vitru, even the normal kind of thing that a person would be Mavatru to somebody else and say, you know what, I'm not going to bother, I'm not going to mind it because it's such a small amount, or it's just a momentary thing or whatever, such a thing, Rabbi Eliezer says, is still also by a Mudra Hanah. So in other words, even something like that, a regular person wouldn't care if somebody else uses his chotzer as a shortcut. And the Chachamim there disagree with Rabbi Yezer and say that even by a mudra hanah, such a thing would be mudra, because they say only a hanah of the kind that a person would normally charge for this kind of hanah or something like that, or a person would expect you to return him the favor or something, that would be also. But something like this, vitr, where everybody just gives it away and doesn't even think twice about it, they would say is mudra. Rabbi Yezer disagrees and says not even that. So therefore, the result is that with a mudra hanah, you're not even allowed to walk into his property. Different Rishonim discuss the question whether the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer or not. On the one hand, we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer here. On the other hand, he is a Das Yachid. So different Rishonim disagree whether the halacha is like him or not. Okay. Another thing involving Nedarim, the Mishnah says, Ein bein Nedarim lo Nedavos. There's no difference. Now, when you're saying, I'm going to bring a korban, there's two possible ways that you can formulate your words. You can say, Hare Olai Korban, I obligate myself to bring the Korban. So then, as we're going to say in the Gemara, the Chiyuv of the Korban is on his shoulders. And therefore, so now, later on, as we're going to say in the Mishnah, now, later on, when he designates an animal for a Korban, if he doesn't end up being able to bring it for a Korban for whatever reason, then he has to bring another one. The Chiyuv is on him. Versus the other way of saying it would be, Hare Zeh Korban, where to begin with, he goes over to an animal in his flock and says, this one should be a Korban. That kind of thing is called nedava. So the Mishnah says, "Ein bein nedarim lo nedavas." There's no difference between between nedarim and nedavas. Elasha nedarim chayev b'achriyosan. The difference is if a person makes a neder, then he's chayev b'achriyosan, meaning that he's responsible to make up for it in case it got lost or stolen or developed a mum or what have you. As long as he did not bring it as a korban, he has not fulfilled his neder. Therefore, he has to bring another one. Or nedavas, ain't a chayev b'achriyosan. Whereas with nedavas, not, because he said this animal should be a korban. Well, this animal is no longer available. Therefore, there's no more chiyuv on him. Tosfos actually points out that now you have another difference as well. If you say nedava, then you're able to bring it from Meister Sheni money. As opposed to a neder, when you say a neder, then it has to come from Chulin, because once you said the neder, means you have an obligation on yourself, then therefore you can't be yotzi your obligation with something that doesn't belong to you, namely Meister Sheni. Okay, Tosfos says that we're talking about a korban that was already designated. So there's no difference between the avoida of them. And as we're going to say in the Gemara, there's no difference between as far as the din of Balta Acher. That's in Minasech to Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara talks extensively about the fact that you have a certain amount of time that you have to bring the korban before you're over on a lot. But we're not talking about before you separated them, Tosfos says. There's many differences. Tosfos also says with this that in general, with all these ein veins, we can very well say Tana v'shaya. That Tana, again, is not listing all the differences between one and the other. He's listing one salient difference between one and the other, but we're meant to understand that there may be others as well. So the Gemara says, hold it in Balta Acher, zev zeh shavim. So the implication is that Balta Acher, they're the same thing. Now, the mitzvah, Balta Acher, the pasuk starts off, it introduces, ki sidr neder l'ashem alakecha, if you make a neder, then lois l'acher l'shamay. So we wouldn't know from that pasuk that it applies to nedava, but the sugya in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, which we learned a couple of months back, goes through in detail how we learn from the psukim over there, that it applies to nedava, and that it applies to many other things as well. So therefore, yes, it does wind up applying to nedava, and if a person made a nedava, and now didn't pay it off, didn't bring it to the Beis Mikdash, within a certain amount of time, then he's over on the sisser. Okay. The Gemara says, Tananho. So now, we learn in a Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Kinyan, Ezu neder, what is the definition of neder? Is ha'omer harei olai oila. A person says, I am obligated to bring an oila, or any other korban. Ezehin nedava hoima hare zu oila. A nedava would be where he says this animal is an oila. Umabe nedarim l'nedavas. What's the actual difference? So as we said in our Mishnah, nedarim mesu enignavoi ovdu chay b'achriyosan. If he designates it as a neder, then if it dies or gets lost or stolen or lost chay b'achriyosan, then he's responsible to make it up because the chiyuv is still on him, as we're going to say. Nedavas mesu enignavoi ovdu ain't a chay b'achriyosan. So, and where's the darkness? He's not. So, Menohanimili, where do we know this from? So, the Tanan Abanam, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, V'nirtzaloy l'chaper olav, the Pasuk says that when a person is going to bring a korban, it will be accepted for him to be mechaper for him. So, what's this word olav? Reb Shimon Emma, Esha olav, the kind of obligation that is on him, chaya b'achriyosai, then he's responsible to make up for it. So he's darshaning the pasuk. In other words, v'nirtzaloy, it will be accepted for him when he gets the kapara, when the korban is brought, then he's nirtza. But before that, not nirtza. But when does that apply? Only when olav. The esche, ain't it olav? When it's not on him, ain't it chaya b'achriyosai, then he's not responsible for it. So the Gemara says, my mashma, where do you see that olav means that he accepted the obligation? Because when he says Hare Olai Oila, we treat it as though that neder is resting on his shoulders. He made a neder, it's now a chovas gavra, it's now an obligation that rests on him as an individual to bring that korban. And therefore the pasuk can describe that as olav, that literally it's something that's lying on his shoulders, waiting to be taken off and discharged. So therefore, that's what we're saying, that therefore he's chayav b'achriyosai until the actual korban is brought.
Shem and the addition of four words. What is the addition that we just added to all of them? It was on his burden.
So all of them, because on the face of it, on the face of it, all of them, the pasuk means on his behalf. The kapara is done on his behalf. But now we're saying that it also has the additional meaning of literally something that's resting on him. Namely, that once he made this neder, we consider as though it's resting on his shoulders, like a burden that he has to take off and deliver to where it's supposed to go. Namely, in this case, he has to deliver the korban to the Beis Hamikdash and see to it that it gets brought. Okay. Now, turning to things of Tumah V'Tahara, the Mishnah says, Ein Bein Zav HaRoyah Shtei Re'iyas LaRoyah Sholosh. There's no difference between a Zav who had two emissions and a Zav who had three. So a Zav is a person, he has a certain kind of emission from his male organ. It's slight, it's somewhat like Shechvas Zera, but not exactly the same. It's off-white instead of white. It's loose, it's looser in consistency. It comes without a, it comes without, without, a, without, without, a, without arousal before it. It's some kind of sickness. Whatever, the Torah tells us that if a person gets it one time, then he's just considered like a Baal Keri. He just has to go to the mikveh, have head of Shemesh, and that's that. Once he has two of them, or Rashi mentions, you have a whole Masech, the Zavim, that talks about these details, but Rashi mentions it can also be, the two can be on two subsequent days, so like one on Sunday or one on Monday, or you can even have one long one that's long enough to be considered in Halacha the equivalent of two, where there's enough time in the middle to have gone to the mikveh and dried off, whatever. So then he's considered a Zav. Now he has the halachas of the Zav, which, as we're going to say in the Gemara, includes, for example, the fact that anything that he sits on or lies on or whatever, anything that he sits or lies on or puts his body weight on or whatever, which is meant to carry his weight, becomes Tomei, becomes an Avatoma. You have the whole concept of Amoid Venas Malachtenu, where you have, for example, he sits down, let's say, you know, he takes a garbage can, turns it upside down, and sits on it. That doesn't become Tomei, because we tell him that's not the primary purpose of a garbage can. We tell him Amoid Venas Malachtenu, get up, we want to use it for our work. But we're talking about if he sits on a chair, or a bench, or even a multi-function thing, Shloisha Trisin Hain, that an oval, and a person doing the 11 months, and then on Yotzeit learns, that goes through these kinds of things, where for each kind of Keli, you have an example where it's Tomei Midras, and an example where it's not. So all those things apply to Zavuad Turi, yes? Then you have, if he has a third Re'iyah, or again, it means, in other words, a third Re'iyah on the third consecutive day, so Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, or again, it can mean that he had one long one that's the equivalent of three, etc. Anyway, then he's not only that, so we say in the Mishnah, Ela Korban, the difference is that the one with three Re'iyahs has to also bring a Korban. So the Gemara says, Hold it in your Mishkav and Moshav. So the implication is, as far as Mishkav and Moshav, as far as this point, that if he sits or lies or whatever on things, and that they become an avatoma, and that applies even if he didn't touch them. Rashi stresses it means even you had a bunch of sheets, one on top of the other, and he lies on the top one, all of them become tamei, all of them become an avatoma, and on the tamei another person who sits on them or who touches them. So that applies equally to both, Osiras Shiva, and that both a two Re'iyah and a three Re'iyah Zav, that both of them have to count seven clean days, and then go to the mikveh. Zev is Eshavim, so then both of them are the same as far as that, because the Mishnah is saying the only difference is the korban. So now, Menani Mili, so now we're going to get into the details, how do we know that? As we often find, you know, when you have something that's from a Seder, where that's from a Masechta, that has Gemara on it, then the Gemara will just knock it off briefly, because we'll discuss the details of it in the appropriate Masechta. So when we had Yom Tov and Shabbos, for example, fine, it's discussed in Masechta Beitza. The Shabbos and Yom Kippur one is discussed, the whole matter, as far as Kom Le B'Din Abimineh, is discussed extensively in Masechta Ksubos, where it comes up there in connection with the case of Onus and Mefateh. And so forth. And with Nedarim, we have Masech and Nedarim, but here there is no Gemara on Zavim. Therefore, the Gemara is going to go into some detail over here of how we know these dinim. So, Menahani, where do we know this from? The Tanan Abanan, Reb Simoyim, Mona Akosif Shtayim Ukroi Tomei, the Pasuk mentions twice a word with the Shurdish Zav, and then calls him Tomei. Namely, the Pasuk starts off, Ish ki yeh Zav mibsore, Zoivo Tomei hu. So you have twice in the Pasuk a word with the Shurdish Zav, and then it says Tomei. Shorish v'tori tamei. Then the next pasuk has three times where it says zog, and then it says the word tamei. Namely, the next pasuk says v'zois tia tumasei v'zoyvoi, ror v'sorei es zoyvoi, oy hechtem v'sorei mi zoyvoi, tum asei hi. So there you have three times a word from the Shorish zog, and then it says tamei. Okay, then, so why, if two is already two, then why would you need a third? It means shtayim l'tuma v'sholosh l'korban. It means that two of them already make him tameh with the full force of a zog. The third one adds something else, namely that he's chayav a korban. Because then the pasuk calls him tamei hu, meaning not just the tamei as a balkeri. For that you wouldn't need. Even one time is enough to make him tamei with a lesser degree of tumah of a balkeri. So therefore it has to mean that he becomes tamei with the full force of a zog. So the Gemara asks, "V'ema shtayim l'tumah v'loy l'korban, sholosh l'korban v'loy l'tumah." Why? Maybe it means that two makes him tamei as a zog, but he doesn't have to bring a korban. The third one then switches things, makes him that he's now chayiv in a korban, which it describes in the following psukim, but not the tumah. Now, why would we even have such a svara? The Pnei Yeshua says, because soon the Gemara is going to point out that you do have a word later on in the pasuk, mi zoyvoi, which we're going to learn a certain miut from it, so maybe we would think it's memayat that a three times zob does not become tomei. And okay, you'd say it's not logical. Okay, xeris akasim. The answer is, amarta adshalai ro shalash ro shtayim. The fact is, in order to get to three, he had to have had two. So therefore, there's no svara even to say that miut in the pasuk should be referring to that. No, necessarily it means that the third one, I mean, the mizoyvoi, we're going to use for something else, as we're going to talk about soon. A three times zav is as much tameh as a two times zav. Just in addition, he has to bring a carbon. Okay. So the ema shtayim l'korban v'loy l'truma sholish af l'truma. Maybe the other way around. Maybe it means the two times zav has to bring a korban, but is not yet tomei, is not yet with the full force of tumah of a zav. And then only a three time one has the full tumah of a zav. So sort of like your question, maybe after two times he's only like a balkeri. Fine, it's tomei, but maybe only the lesser degree of tumah of a balkeri. A balkeri sits on a chair. The chair doesn't become an avatoma.
And therefore, we can't say our Mishnah in vain.
Right, that's the question. Right. The answer is, Lois Safadaida, you can't think that way. Tanya, because we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk ends off by talking about the korban that the Zov has to bring, and it says, V'chiper all of our korban, the Pnei Hashem, mi zoivoi. The Pasuk says the korban should make a kapara for him before Hashem from his Zov. So that the mi zoivoi is a mute. Miktas zavin mevian korban, and miktas zavin ain mevian korban. So only some kinds of zavin bring a korban. And what would that be? Halkeit said, Ra sholosh maybe, shtayim ene maybe. So it means only if he has three ra'iyas does he bring a korban, but if he has two, even though he is a zav, for all the purposes of a zav, mishkav, moshav, and so forth. And by the way, again, when we say mishkav, moshav, we mean other things as well. For example, we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, that a Zav has a special kind of tumah, has a special way of making Kalim Tomei that nobody else has. Namely, if he moves those Kalim. So let's say, for example, a Mitzoda or a Tomei Mess or what have you, if they take a stick and use that stick to push something, that something is not going to become Tomei. They didn't touch it directly. But a Zav, the thing will become Tomei. It's called Hesed. That's a unique tumor that applies only to a zog. So again, when our Mishnah said El Korban, when the Gemara said that as far as Mishka Vamoshav and Sfiras Shiva, they're the same, we mean the other things that apply specially to a zog as well, such as Hesed. Anyway, the point is, so we said that Mixas Zavin Mavin, and Mixas Zavin Ein Mavin, the fact that it says Mi Zoivoi implies that only certain kinds of Zavim, so in other words, you have many Zavim who have all these rules of Mishkav, Moshav, Hesed, etc., but among them, only some of them bring a korban, and that would be the three times Zav. So the Gemara says, Oy Eina Ela Ra Beis, maybe raw shalosh any maybe. Maybe it means the other way around. Maybe it means only a two times zav brings a korban. Maybe a three times zav is potter from the korban. And the answer is again, amarta actually raw shalosh raw shtayim. Again, in order to get to three, he had to have gone through two. So therefore, there's no svara to say that having a third ziva should make things easier for him. Now again, given that we originally started with a, given the Pnei Yeshua explained, given that we have a word mizoivoi, if we didn't use it to say about the korban, then we might have said, okay, it's not, there's no svara. Okay, there's no svara either that a person whose body is completely covered with saras becomes tahor, and yet zeres hakasim, but it is. But we also, but once we find that the word mizoivoi can be used for a different drasha, then already we can apply svara to say which drasha we're going to apply it to. Now, so it comes out that we have two different ways of learning that the two times zav and the three times zav are both tomei, but that only the three times zav brings a korban. Namely, we had Reb Simoi's fact that it says twice zav and then tomei, and three times and it says tomei, and the fact that it says mizoivoi. So ve'itzrich, Reb Simoi, ve'itzrich mizoivoi. The fact is we need both drushes in order to learn the din. The Eid Midir of Simoi, if we only had Rav Simoi's point about two times and three times, about the number of times it says Zoiv in the Pasuk, have Amina Kikushian, then we would have thought, like the Kasha that we asked, that maybe it means, therefore, that the three times of is more lenient than the two times of, and doesn't become Tomei, or doesn't become Tomei to the same extent. So therefore, Kamash Moma Mizoivoi. Therefore, we have to have the Pasuk Mizoivoi to tell us that not, that every kind of Zov is equally Tomei, and only some of them bring a carbon. The E Mizoivoi, but if you only said Mizoivoi, well, you're dying a Tama Re'ias, you wouldn't know how many Re'ias it takes to make him have to bring a carbon. It could be two or three, it could be three or four, etc. So therefore, Kamash Moma did Absimori, therefore we need Absimori's Jirosha, which tells us the number. Okay. Now, if we're saying that the word mizoivoi in connection with his korban is meant for the drasha, that we said that only some kinds of zovim bring a korban, what about another place where it says mizoivoi? The chiyitar hazov mizoivoi my gashus day. You have a couple of psukim earlier where it says that when the zov becomes tahor from his ziva, what are you dashing from that? So the answer is ahumi boiler the chiditanya. We use that for this that we learn in a braisa. The pasuk says v'chiyitar azov. The pasuk says when the zav becomes tahor. Now, what does that mean when he becomes tahor? It means v'chiyifsek mizoivoi. It means when his ziva ceases, when his ziva stops. Meaning, we don't say that he has to tovel before his seven clean days. He counts his seven clean days, then he goes to the mikveh. And when it says mizoivoi, means v'loy mizoivoi v'nigoi. That word, mizoivoi, comes to teach us that he only has to be toho from his zoiv, not also from his nega. Suppose a person is, unfortunate enough, he's both a zov and a mitzoyer. So now, as a zov, we're saying he has to have seven clean days, dip in the mikveh, and then if he was a three-time zov, he said he also has to bring a korban. What happens if at the same time he's also a mitzoyer? Now, a mitzoyer also has to count a certain number of days before he can bring us, before he can tovel and bring us korbanos. So now, what if this guy was saying, so we're saying, should he be able to count the seven clean days and tovel? So maybe not. He's, after all, he is still tummy. He's still mitzvah. We're saying, no, the fact that the pasuk says mizoivoi teaches us that's not a problem. He's perfectly able to count the seven clean days and go ahead and tovel. It means that he's still going to be a mitzvah. Fine. What it means is he's not going to be matami mishka v'moshev anymore like the way a zog does. So Tosfos points out, actually, Rashi has a girsa over here. Tosfos brings a different girsa. That a Matsoda is also the two different Yusoris over here, that a Matsoda is not Matami Mishkav or Moshav, or that it is. Tosfos explains that what it means is that a Matsoda is Matame what he sits on, but only as a Vlad Hatuma. So the chair that he sits on afterwards, if food touches that chair, it will become Tomei. But if a person touches that chair, nothing happens. As opposed to a Zov, a person touches the chair that a Zov sat on, he's going to become Tomei himself. So therefore, the point is, in other words, the pasuk is telling us with the word mizoivoi, don't worry about the fact that you're a mitzora. Go ahead, count your seven clean days, tovel. That will take care of your zivus. Now at least you're not matami mishka v'moshe anymore. You may have to wait longer to bring your korban, because you can't bring a korban. If you were three times zav, you have to wait to bring your korban until your tzaras is over, and then you're going to bring korbanos for that as well. But meanwhile, at least you're taking care of that you're not matami mishka v'moshe and behestet and all these other things anymore. Okay, Rashi learns over here that he goes and counts as 7 clean days and then he can already tovel, then already he can tovel the first tefillah of a mitzvah after he gets healed from his tzaras. The ritual learns slightly differently, that after the 7 days of the counting for the clean days of ziva, then he'll go to the mikveh. The point is, either way, one way or the other, that'll take care of his zivus. Once he's gone through all that, then he's taking care of his zivus. Now he's not matam and mishkav emotion anymore. So that we learn from the wood mizovei. Otherwise, we would have thought that he has to wait until he's clean of his tzaras as well before he can even start the process with his ziva. That's what Rashi seems to be saying. Yeah, and it also counts as, yeah, Rashi says, and that one tefila will do double duty for his nega and for his ziva. So Rashi says what it is like this. So okay, Rashi says that what it is only once he does that tefila is he not going to be the time of mishkav Moshe. Meaning, sorry, you're right, I said it wrongly. So according to Rashi, what happens is, he counts as 7 days of Zog. Even after those 7 clean days, he's still Matam and Mishkav Moshe, until he goes to the mikveh. Rashi learns, what he does is, he goes to the mikveh when his tzaras is healed. When anyway, he has to go at the beginning, as the beginning of the process of him becoming Tomer from his tzaras, then he goes to the mikveh then, and that also does double duty for his tefillah at the end of his ziva. The Ritva learns differently. The Ritva says, even at the end of the 7 clean days, he can still go to the mitzvah. It doesn't help anything as far as tzaras, but it takes care of his ziva. Yeah. In any case, that we learn from the word mizovei. Continues the Braisa, mizovei v'sofar, when the Pasuk says that he becomes tohar from his zov, and he counts. In other words, why does it put those two things together, zovei and v'sofar? Limit al zav bal shteira is shetoron sfidas shiva. From there we learn that even a 2-time zav needs to count 7 clean days. So the question is, why do we need that? Shouldn't we be able to learn it from a kavachomer? In the tam and mishkav, not a kavachomer, but a matmatzinu, like in the tam and mishkav moshav lo yeton sfidas shiva. If we're saying that he has the full rules of a zav, he becomes he's matam and mishkav moshav and heset and so on and so forth. What makes us think he should not have to count 7 clean days? That we should need a posuk to tell us otherwise. And the answer is, Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom Techiyah. The answer is, you could slug that Mamatzinu or that Kavachomer up by pointing to a Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom. A Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom is a woman who had a flow of Ziva. In her case, it's not all white like by a man. In her case, it's blood, the same kind of blood as that Nida, but it comes outside of the expected time for Nida. During the Gemara tells us in Nida, you have 11 days during her cycle when she could potentially become a Zava. She has all the rules of a male zog as far as mishkav and moshav and all that. But the din is, she doesn't need sfidas shiva mechidim. What happens is, she had a flow of zivus on one day. She needs one clean day after that. She had 2 days. She also needs one clean day after that. Only if she had 3 days in a row does she need 7 clean days. Nowadays, when we do that, women have a flow and they need 7 clean days. That's because we're applying the chumras of a nida and of a zava together, for reasons that the Gemara discusses in Masechta Nida. So the question was like this. Given that a Zob is Matan and Mishkav Moshav, why would we think he shouldn't need Sfidas Shiva Nekiyah? And the answer is, because I can show you another case of a person who is Matan and Mishkav Moshav and doesn't need Shiva Nekiyah, namely a Shemeres Siyam Keneged Yom. She has all the dinim of a Zob as far as Mishkav Moshav, but to not be Matam and Mishkav Moshav, she doesn't need 7 clean days. She needs 1 clean day. And then she goes to the mikveh, and then that's that. So she's Matam and Mishkav Moshav. So she's Matame anything that she sits or lies on. The Eina Tona Sfidas Shiva. She doesn't need 7 clean days. She only needs 1 clean day. The Af Atal Tismal Zeh. So given that, there would be no reason for you to be surprised with a Zav of 2 times, that you could potentially think that even though he might be like a Shemeres Yom to Neged Yom in that regard. In other words, think of it. By a Zava, you have a Shemeres Yom to Neged Yom is also called a Zava Katana, a small Zava. Then you have a 3 days in a row, which is called a Zava Gdola. And they were saying he needs 7 clean days. So conceivably, you might have thought the same thing. You have a Zav Cotton and a Zav Gadol. Namely, one doesn't need 7 clean days, and the other one does. So you shouldn't need Sfiras Shiva. Tamad Loima, Mizoivai Vesafar. Therefore, the Pasuk says Mizoivai Vesafar, back to back, which means Miktas Zoivai Vesafar. So even though he only has partial Ziva, still he needs to do Vesafar, he needs to count. Limit Al Zobal Shteiriyas. So that teaches us that even a 2-time Zob, even though he's missing something that would make him an absolute, even though he's something that missing something that would make him the ultimate kind of zav, namely he doesn't have the third re'iyah that would make him chayiv and a korban, nevertheless, Shato and Sfiras Shiva, he still has to count the 7 clean days. So by a zav, there's no difference between a zav gadol and a zav katan. Both of them need the 7 clean days, unlike by a zava, where you have zav gadola and zav katana, and only a zav gadola needs 7 clean days. So that's where we learn that from the fact that it says mizoivoy, and right after that, the word besopah. Now, so we have like this. We said that from the different words mizoivoy, we're learning different things. From one word mizoivoy, we learned that only certain kinds of zavim bring a korban. And then we learned from the word mizoivoy, we said that on the other hand, if a person is both a zav and a mitzoyda, then he's able to tovel, he's able to count the 7 clean days in tovel, and not have to worry about the fact that he's a mitzoyda. So we said that there's 2 different words mizoivoy that are used in connection with the zav. One in connection with his korban, from which we learn that only some kind of zavim bring a korban. Then we had another one where we said mizoivoy is almost like a ribui. We're saying even though he's also a mitzvah, don't worry about it. Ignore your tzaras, count your 7 clean days, and then once you're able to go to the mikveh, then you'll be tahor from your ziva, even though you still have the tumah of tzaras. Again, one more time. You have 2 different mizoivoys. One is a miut, that only some kinds of zavim bring a korban. The other one we're treating almost like a ribui, that we're saying, even though you're a zav and a mitzurda, go ignore your tzaras for the time being, focus on your zivus, count your 7 clean days, and that'll take care of things. So the question is, omaleta papal abaya, maishna hai mizoivoy demirabi de bo zav bal shteiriyas. Why is it that one mizoivoy we're including also the Zav Bal Shteiriyas? We don't say that Mizoivoy, V'chiyiter Azav Mizoivoy, teaches us that this rule only applies to a 3-time Zav and not a 2-time Zav. We're saying it applies equally to both, when he has Tzaras as well. Why is it with the Korban we're excluding the Zav Bal Shteiriyas? We should be consistent in how we treat the word Mizoivoy. Amalei, Sabai answers him, because like this. Because let's look first at the one. The question was also that when we say mizoivoy v'sofar means just the opposite. It means not that only some kinds of zavim have to count. We said it means that every kind of zav has to count. So forget about the mitzoda one for the moment. We're talking about, in other words, we had one mizoivoy that teaches us that only a zav bal sholosh re'iyas brings a korban. On the other hand, we have the mizoivoy v'sofar, where we're saying that it means that every kind of zav has to count 7 clean days. So what's the logic? The mizoivoy over there should also be a miut, that only a 3-time zav needs the 7 days. So Amale, Sabaya answers him, because if you were going to think that the mizoivoy in connection with the sfira is coming for a miut, to say that only a 3-time zav has to count, then it didn't even need that. Lishtik kromine, the pasuk didn't have to say anything at all. You would have no basis for saying that a 2-time zav needs to count at all. V'chitema askimidina. Again, you would say you would try to learn it from a kavachomer, like we said before. If he's metame mishkav moshav, surely he requires sfira. Again, shemer siyem keneged yom techiyah. Then you would say you would disprove that from shemer siyem keneged yom, and say just like she doesn't need sfira shiva nakiyim, neither does he. So therefore, in other words, the point is, the fact that it's a ribui is because otherwise it didn't need to say it at all. Because it couldn't have said, v'chiyitar azav, and we would understand it means a zav bal sholosh re'iyas needs 7 days. We would have no basis to say that a 2-time zav does. It'd be like a shemer siyem keneged yom. The fact that it says mizoivoy is meant just the opposite, to include him. Now, you're going to say, okay, but we also have the limud adam and aleph that we meant that if he's a zov and a mitzvah, that he doesn't have to worry about the tzaras. He can go ahead and count his 7 clean days. Still, the pasuk could have just said, when the zov becomes tahor, the lishtek mizoivoy, and not use the word mizoivoy at all, and we would understand it means that when the zov becomes tahor, meaning, in other words, we mean from zivos. because that's the context we're talking about. When he's tahor, as in his zibus has stopped. Automatically, then we're saying he can start counting. Mizoivay lomali. So why does it have to add the word mizoivay? Therefore, it means limit on ba'al zob, ba'al shtevis, chaton, sfeira shiva. Therefore, it comes to teach us that every kind of zob, because then the next word in the pasuk is v'safar, teaches us that every kind of zob needs sfeira, needs the shiva nikki. So that's why there's no contradiction between using one mizoivay as a miut and the other one as a ribuy. Because by the korban there was no choice but to write the word mizoivoy as a miut. Over you, you had a choice. Like this, without the pasuk, we would never have known that a two-time zov needs sfiras shiva nekiyim anyway, and therefore when the pasuk puts it in, it must mean that he does need it. When it comes to the korban, there was no choice but to write mizoivoy for the miut. Otherwise, we would think every kind of zov needs a korban. When it comes to shiva nekiyim, the pasuk didn't have to write the word mizoivay at all. We would have on our, if we didn't have the word mizoivay, we would understand on our own that a two times zav and a three times zav are different. Same way as a shemeres yom keneged yom is different than a zav of gdola, and therefore it puts in the word mizoivay and then the word misafar and then the word misafar to tell us that every kind of zav needs counting. Continuing on topics of Tumah V'Tahara, the Mishnah says, "Ein bein mitzoda muskil l'mitzoda muchlat." Now, when it comes to a mitzoda, you have like this: a person comes to a kohen with something that might be tzaras. So, depending on the situation, the kohen quarantines him for 7 days, and then he checks him. The pasuk calls that hester, this direi hakohen. Most of the Rishonim learn that it means literally he locks him up in a house. Some of the Rishonim also explain that it means the Kohen draws a line around the Tzaras so they can check whether it's spread. Anyway, then at the end of the 7 days, the Kohen checks the Posid and sees what's the story. Do we have, has the Tzaras grown? Has it developed simonim that would mean, for example, two white hairs or other things that show that it's definitely Tzaras? Then that's it. The guy's a Mitzoda Muchlat. He's a confirmed Mitzoda. Or if not, it turns out if the spot became lighter, or if after 2 weeks it stayed the same, etc., then he tells the guy you're Torah, and the guy goes to Mikveh, and that's that. So the Mishnah says, Ein bein mitzoda muskil l'mitzoda muchlat. There's no difference between a mitzoda who's in quarantine versus one who was confirmed as a mitzoda. Ela prio prima. The only difference is that the mitzoda muchlat has to do priya, he has to let his hair grow long, or prima, and he has to tear his clothes, as it says in the pasuk, and a mitzoda musko does not. So during those 7 days of quarantine, or 13 days, as the case may be, he doesn't have to do any of those things. But as the Gemara is going to say, he still has to be outside the machne, etc. And ein bein tohu mitecheskel, the tohu mitechechot, ela teglachas v'tziporim. Now, what happens? Eventually, the tzaras goes away. So you can have Torah Mitech Hester, where he was quarantined for the 7 days or the 13 days, and then the Kohen declares him Torah because the tzaras hasn't spread and hasn't developed two white hairs, etc. Then you have Torah Mitech Hechot, namely where he was a confirmed Mitzora. He had two white hairs or whatever. He was Tomei for a while. Now the tzaras has healed. So then he becomes Torah. So the difference between them is Ela Tiglachas V'Tziporim. The difference is that after Hechlet, he's going to need to shave his hair, and he's going to need to, at the beginning of the process, he brings two birds, whether one of the Kohen shechts one of them and takes water and eats Erez and whatever, and dips one of them together with all those things into the other, and they sprinkle it on the Mitzvah. That you only need when the Mitzvah was Muchlat, when he was confirmed, not when he was Musko, not when he was just in quarantine for a week or two. So the Gemara says, "Hold the inyan shiluach betumah zevazeh shavim." The implication is, as far as the fact that they have to be sent outside of the walled city, and as far as the fact that they have all the dinim of tumah of a mitzvah, zevazeh shavim, both of them are the same thing. Whether he's in quarantine or whether he's mukhlat. So the Gemara says, "Menahani midi." Where do we know that from? So the Tani of Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Kamei de Rav Huna, the pasuk says about the case where the person is locked up for a week or two, and the pasuk says that then when the skin becomes lighter, so now when the spot is not one of the shades that make it tzaras, the pasuk says v'tiarei hakohen, the kohen should declare him tohor mispachasi, it's only a mispachas, like only like a growth on the skin or something, v'chibes begodav v'tohor, and then he has to wash his clothes, meaning he has to dip himself and his clothes in a mikveh v'tohor, and then he becomes tohor. So therefore, so it means in a certain sense he was tomei, but on the other hand, On the other hand, since it says v'toher in past tense rather than v'yitar in future tense, means toher mitprio prima d'me'ikara. It means that he was toher to begin with of the prio prima that he would have had to do had the kohen declared him muchar. So therefore, that's how we learn that a musker does not have to do prio prima, does not have to rip his clothes or let his hair grow long. Amalei Rava, but Rava says, Elameata, by that logic, if you're going to say the Tahar means he was Tahar all along, in a certain sense, Gabe Zav, Dichibus Begad of the Tahar, what about a Zav, where also the Pasuk uses the word Vatahar, Hasamai Vatahar Me'ikreika, over there, what kind of Vatahar, what could you say he was Tahar from in the first place? Ella, what it means is, obviously by the Zog, when it says v'tohar, means tohar hashtim l'tamet klecheres behesit, it means that once he goes to the mikveh, after his shivinikiyim, then already he's tohar in the sense that now he's not metame uden where kalim by moving them. So that's what we said before, that a Zog is metame kalim by moving them even without touching them. In other words, Rashi explains what it means is, it's like this. A Zog has to go to the mikveh. He has a shiv and a kim, and then he goes to the mikveh. As usual, after going to the mikveh, he needs head of shemesh. But now, suppose that he went to the mikveh after his 7 clean days. He goes to the mikveh by day, most tzmeim do. Now, conceivably, during the rest of the day, he might have a flow of ziva again. That would make him a Zog again. But we don't say that undoes his tzvila, and therefore that in any kalim that he moved in between are going to be metame. They're not. So that we learn from the Chibas, God of the Torah, as soon as he goes to the mikveh, now the Tumas Heset no longer applies. If later on in the day he has a ziva, then we do say he has to restart his 7 clean days. We do say that retroactively his Mishkav and Moshav become Tamei. In other words, so if he went to the mikveh in the morning and then later that afternoon he had a flow of ziva, even just one, then it undoes his Shiva Nakim because you have to have 7 full clean days. And it means that anything he sat on between when he went to the mikveh and now is going to be retroactively Tamei, but anything that he moved is not going to be. That's the Vatahar accomplishes that. So it means only he tore hashta milatama klecheres beheset. Afagav dehodu chazi le mitama lemakreya. So even though he has a re'iyah of ziva again on that same day, still he's not mitame things beheset retroactively. Well, hochanami, the same way we could say by a mitzvah. But the word retohu just means tore hashta milatama bebiya lemakreya. It means, like this, when a mitzvah walks into a building, into a room, then he's metame everything in the room. So fine, we're saying that this person who had suspected saras, where then after 1 week or after 2 weeks, the Kohen told him, you're free to go home. So it means at that point, he's not metame from now on, that if he goes into a room, he's not metame anything in the room. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he was tohar all along, that he didn't have to do prio prima. Again, the same way as a Zav, it can't mean anything retroactive. It can't mean by the Mitzvah either anything retroactive. Ella, Omar Rava Mehocha. Rather, Rava says, never mind, we can't learn from the Torah. We're going to learn from a different passage. No, he said, because there's no way that the Torah by a Zav can be understood to be something that all along he was Torah. The same way by a Mitzvah, there's no way that we can say that the Torah means all along he was Potter from something. Ella, Omar Rava Mehocha. Rather, Rava says, we're going to learn from here. The Pasuk says, Vatsarua Ashaboy HaNega, the Mitzurda in whom is the Nega, that it says he has to rip his clothes and let his hair grow long. So the words Ashaboy HaNega implies Misha Tzarati Kluya Begufay. It only applies to somebody where his status of Tzaras depends on what's happening with his body. As long as the Tzaras is on his body, he's from it. As opposed to the one in quarantine, it doesn't only depend on what happens with his body, it also depends on a certain number of days. If after the 7 days or the 13 days, the tzaras is still there, but it hasn't grown and it hasn't developed 2 white hairs and so forth, then he's tahor. The same spot is still there, doesn't matter. There is a kasuv that he's tahor. So therefore, it doesn't only depend on what's happening with his body, it depends on a certain number of days. Therefore, with that, the pasuk is implying Ashaboy HaNega means Mish Tzarate Tzluya B'Gufay. The Tzaras depends on his guf exclusively. In other words, a Mitzurah Muchot, once he's confirmed as a Mitzurah, what makes it that we say he's no longer a Mitzurah, if not enough for a certain amount of time to pass, the Tzaras has to physically disappear. or dim in color. And so it's not one of the colors of Tanas. As opposed to a Metzora Musker, there can also be where the spot is still there, but because 13 days have passed with him in quarantine and nothing happened, then the Kohen declares him Tahor. So that's not Tzluy B'Gufo, it's Tzluy B'Yamin. And therefore, the Pasuk is implying that that time does not need pre-opening. So the Gemara says, El Omalei Abaya, El Omei Abta, by that logic, if you're going to learn from the word Asherboi HaNega, what about the Pasuk says, Kol Yemei Asher HaNega Bar Yitma, the Pasuk says, all the days in which the Nega is on him Yitma, he's going to become Tomei. Are you going to, and you say that he has to stay outside the Machna. Again, does that mean, because it says, Asher HaNega Bar Misha Farap, Tzluy B'Gufo, Yutton Shiluach, you're telling me then that only a Metzora Muchlat, where it depends exclusively on what happens with his body, has to be sent out of the Machna, Shein Sarat, Tzluy B'Gufo, Yutton Shiluach? You're going to say that a Metzora Musker does not need to be sent outside the city? B'chitema Hochinami, you're going to say maybe, yeah. B'chitema Hochinami, Metzora Musker, Metzora Muchlat, Ela Prio Prima. But we said they're both the same as far as they have to be sent out of the Machna. They're both the same in that they're metame everything in a room when they walk into it. So therefore, yes, the Metzora Musker has to be sent out of the city, even though it says Asher HaNegaboy. So obviously that kind of Jerusha is no good. Amalei, so Rava answers, and the difference is Yimei, Kol Yimei, B'Rabbis Metzora Musker V'Shiluach. Because the Pasuk could have said Yimei Asher HaNegaboy, and instead it says Kol Yimei Asher HaNegaboy. Therefore, that includes the Metzora Musker also has to be sent out of the city. So the Gemara says, Yehochi to Glach, if it's part of my time alone. In that case, why should the Metzora Musker not require Tiglach as a Tzipporim? As we said in the mission, he doesn't have to shave his hair. They don't have to do the whole ceremony with the two birds. Why not? Dikatani, and in fact, we saw in the Mishnah, Ein ben Torah mitecheskel, Torah mitecheskel, Ela Tiglach as a Tzipporim. So where would we get that distinction from? Now, there is a different Gersa. Hagoyza Bach takes out several words of it. He hockey to glass with the pardon, my time alloy to Katoni, and he says that the Gemara has finished off with that. We said, therefore, we established that a Metzora Musko does need to be sent out of the city, but doesn't need prio prima. Now we're starting a new discussion. How do we know that the Torah Mutter Hesko does not need to glass with the pardon? So Omar Abaya, so Abaya would answer to that. Because the Pasuk says, V'yotza'a koyin ha-mechut b'machna, the koyin should go outside the machna, beginning of Parashas Metzora, and he sees, V'hine nirpo nega tzaras, he sees that the tzaras spot has healed. Again, it means, therefore, the Pasuk is saying, when do you need the birds, and the tiglachas, and everything else that's described in the Pesukim, misha tzarati, flew a bit of force, again, it only applies to the kind of person who, when do we say, tzaras is over when it's healed. Yotzeze, as opposed to a Metzora Musker, she'in tzarat, it's a little bit of force, el b'yamin, where again, as we said, it doesn't depend on it actually physically healing. It's enough that a certain number of days have passed and it hasn't grown and it hasn't developed any of the other simanim. So with that, with the words, v'hine nirpa nega tzaras, the Pasuk is implying that somebody where the tzaras can still be present on his skin, but he's already tahor because enough time has passed that such a person does not need to go out of the party. Which is what the Mishnah had said, therefore, that once the Koyim tells him, it's okay, 7 days have passed, 13 days have passed, nothing changed, therefore you're free to go, he doesn't have to do Tiglachas, he doesn't have to do Tziporim, because we can't stay on him, Nirpo Nega Tzaras, because even though the Tzaras is still present, he's Tahor already. Well, because the problem was that then the implication, we have the same words, Asherboi HaNega, or Asher HaNega Boi, you have the same words in connection with Prio Prima. No, in connection with Prio Prima. In connection with Shiluach, in connection with being sent out of the Machna. And we said both kinds of Mitzvah have to be sent out. So therefore, so first we said, Rava had answered that we say Kol Yimei. So now, that's the thing. We have two different stories in the Gemara. Is it that Abaya is asking in that case why you're not learning Tiglachas Tziporim just as well from Kol Yimei? And the answer is because like Tiglachas Tziporim, you have a different yield. Or is it that we finished that discussion and now we're starting a new discussion? How do we know that the Musker doesn't need Tiglachas Tziporim? Is because it says, Vihine Nirpo Nega Tzoras. Shabbat, everyone.